Dee Dee Collins. Dee Dee and I go way back. Is it 2007? I was trying to think exactly. It's 2008. So it was was it before Kelsey was born or right after? Okay, right after my daughter, my third child was born, I was struggling with being a stay-at-home mom of three really small children, and I wasn't working anymore, and I was feeling isolated. So I searched the IBC website and tried to plug into anything I could, and one was a mentoring ministry, and they paired me up with Dee Dee. So we had our first blind date, and I was totally nervous. Like, it was really a blind date. I know. We went and had Mexican food in Shirlington, Guapo's in Shirlington. I lived in Arlington then, and we've been fast friends ever since. So I am excited that this is such a treat that now I get to share her with you, although you all have gotten lots of Dee Dee before, but in this little world, it's fun to share Dee Dee. Dee Dee's been married to Buzz Collins for 32 years. Buzz's 20-year naval career carried them all around the country, including California and Texas. The family's lived in Fairfax Station since 1997, and Buzz is currently a captain with Southwest Airlines. Dee Dee and Buzz have two sons, Chris, who's 26 and married, newly married, and Michael is 23. And the Collins have attended Emmanuel Bible Church since 99. They're a first-generation Christian family who were baptized together on July 28, 2013, which is really special. Dee Dee worked over 30 years in the national security arena, recently as the executive vice president of the National Security Training Institute. She has a master's degree in human resource management and development. And having come to faith in Christ over 25 years ago, and a forever student, Dee Dee loves to study the Word of God. And she participates in Bible Study Fellowship, otherwise known as BSF, for the cool peeps, and helps lead a Tuesday night women's Bible study. In addition to serving on the Women's Ministry Vision Team, she helps with spiritual mentoring ministry. And I know that she's very good at that, since we go way back in that arena. She's a deacon supporting the IBC community outreach opportunities with an emphasis on serving the needs of inner city and Central Union Mission. And she's led her 15th urban immersion mission trip to the nation's capital this past fall. Now, my husband and I were privileged to go on an immersion trip a couple of years ago. How many of you guys have gone on one of the immersion trips? One, two, three. I really encourage you guys to do it. I think my in-laws took care of the kids or whatever. It was just a fabulous experience, and I really encourage you guys to kind of go out on a limb and spend a couple of days in the city seeing it with a unique perspective. And Dee Dee does a fabulous job leading that. The Collins family loves music. All the boys play musical instruments, but you don't. I see girls. There we go. She's a great clapper and tambourine shaker. They enjoy boating, snow skiing, and traveling together. And Dee Dee, if you know her well, has a passion to do anything creative. Writing, decorating, gardening, anything with tulle and ribbon. Or a little fun, creative, colorful, always colorful. The Lord blessed Dee Dee with the love for public speaking while in college, and she uses the privilege of the platform wherever God calls her, at Imams Tonight, encouraging others in their walk of faith and life, always pointing them to the hope we have in Christ. So how lucky are we to have this professional speaker coming to our little Imams group? So if you would please join me in welcoming Dee Dee Collins.
All right, how do we want to do this?
I didn't find it.
Okay. We're family. Do whatever you need to do. Is it going to make a lot of feedback, or what do you think? Can I stick it in the pocket? Okay. Sounds good. Sounds good. Well, good evening, ladies.
We are feedbacking.
Are we feedbacking? How's that? Can you hear me now? Good.
If I come up and readjust you, just keep on going.
Okay, I'll do that. Oh, it's a joy to be with all of you tonight. I'm really thankful for this opportunity. A phrase that one of my best friends, who's a school teacher, says, "You learn it, when you teach it, you learn it best." So preparing for this talk with all of you has been such a joy, because I think we actually learn best from God through His Word and community. Tyler said it already. I want to say it to you right now. Kudos to you for coming. I know that in this season of life, there are a lot of competing demands. So to be able to pull away on a Wednesday night, thankfully, the weather was great. So I'm glad you guys could be here. As a way of preparing, I took some time to listen to all the previous speakers. And that took me a good chunk of time. And I learned so much, enjoyed it so much, and I concluded that they've covered everything, and we're going to go to table time. What do you think? Okay. As a way of review, Jenny Britton was with you in September. That whole concept of being so real, I'm not going to stand up here and take off my makeup. I'm one of those that after both the boys were born, within 2 hours I had makeup back on again in the hospital. If you will recall, she talked about needing her reading glasses. Did you remember she kept taking her reading glasses? I'm happy to report to you I have progressive glasses on, and that means I can see near and far, which is great for tonight's talk. What do you guys think? Good, good. She also talked about parenting being on-the-job training, that it goes through your lifetime. And for me personally, being part of our mentoring ministry, getting to come alongside women that are, you know, one or two generations behind me, I feel like I'm getting to learn all over again. And I think God does that so beautifully for us. Chris and Ingrid, all I can say is I wish I had had all those tools regarding discipline back then. Amazing. But what I loved most, and I told Ingrid this, my favorite statement was they said, as parents, we should seek to capture the hearts of our children for God and to remember that they're a gift all the time. Buzz reminded me on a dinner date last week, he said, you don't realize you do this, he said, but you often say to folks that the greatest ministry of my life will be my family. For all the things God calls us to, the way we get to share Him, share the good news of Jesus Christ, the families we've been given are probably the greatest gift we'll ever have. And then Penny, oh my, when she came to talk about thanks in all circumstances, the part I loved was the God rationale, that you focus on who God is and what He does in your life. That to me was a real good takeaway. And then Enid at Christmas, she was talking about God's favor resting on Mary, but also on us. And if you can embrace that, you've got a hope and you rejoice in Him. So I want to just start out in prayer, if that's okay with you guys. Thank you, God, for your faithfulness, sustaining character, your power presence, the hand of mercy, and the comfort you show us. I thank you for your grace and your love. You are the embodiment of everything good. Lord, you tell us in your word that you search the whole earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to you. Lord, may we be those women. May we embrace you fully, believing, trusting, praying, and rejoicing. And may we instill confidence that is focused on you, a God confidence in our children, homes, community, and the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen. So the forecast for today, God reigns and the sun shines. Can you tell I prayed for the weather? I woke up this morning and I said, oh Lord, you are amazing. You're going to notice on your tables, there's some magnets. It's keep calm and believe, keep calm and trust God, keep calm and pray, keep calm and rejoice. You each get to pick out one you want. If the one you want is taken, there's some extras on the table. If you want to take one to give to a friend. How many of you know about the whole keep calm and carry on thing? How many of you know that story? Brenda, share with everybody what that...
I'm sorry, I don't know about the whole story.
Does anybody know the story?
In England around wartime.
It was. Yeah. Excellent. You get an extra magnet. So what does Dee Dee do? She goes to Wikipedia. When I saw these magnets, it was amazing because I've been praying over the last month or so, what would I want to talk to you guys about? And believe it or not, these were the four things I thought that we should put emphasis on tonight. In a world of uncertainty, what can we be certain about? Keep calm and carry on were posters that were made by the British government in 1939 as a campaign to calm the fears of their nation as they were entering into World War II. And it was rediscovered by some people that do things with antiquing in 2000, and it has now promulgated again, and you see it in everything. So those are going to be our four talking points, but I love that God reigns and the sun shines. If I had to give you what's your takeaway from tonight, that's the one I'd ask that you remember. By way of background, these are my boys. This is when they were in elementary school. school. I don't know how many of you have had kids that were in the IBC Kids Company choir at Emmanuel Bible Church, but they did this whole season where they wore suspenders. Do you remember the suspenders? Yes. So that's Michael on the left. That's Chris on the right in front of the Christmas tree. And this is them this February. When Chris and Rachel got married, I was talking to Patty briefly before we started. Rachel had wanted a winter wedding. And she said, Mom, do we pray for a dusting of snow? And I said, no, you don't do that. Right, Bethany? We don't pray for it. And it was 62 degrees and sunny on February 20th, 2016. But Chris and Rachel met in the Emmanuel Band, and they were part of the Venture, now Foundry, I call it Venti Foundry community. Michael just graduated from Virginia Tech, and he is living in Raleigh, North Carolina. So by way of background, that's my wonderful family. So you hear it often that these days are fleeting. I'm going to mention that several times tonight, and I know you probably feel fatigue, and maybe, am I doing something? I want you to really focus on just four things, and that, should we just let it hang? Oh, you want me to hold it? I could hold it. Is it my necklace, maybe? This is really hard. I know. You know, they say the average woman needs 7 accessories. And I said, who wrote that? So what are the 4 things? Believe, trust, pray, rejoice. Can you say that? Believe, trust, pray, rejoice. So to begin with, belief comes from knowing him well. How do we know him well? By our trust in him, his word. This is my life verse. And for some of you, you may have heard my testimony before. I'm going to keep it as brief as I possibly can. But to give you some background, you heard that we're a first generation Christian family. I grew up in a family. I was born in Sagamihara, Japan in 1958. My mom and dad were undercover with the Central Intelligence Agency, and I traveled the whole world the first 15 years of my life. We lived all over the place. My dad was involved in so many different things. I got the opportunity to go into an internship program in college to work at the CIA, which then led to my career in the national security field. Fast forward, I went into security work, worked for a company called ESL TRW. It's now Northrop Grumman. And I started there in 1980. And in 1980, it was a defining year in my life. I had kind of up to that point in time known who God was, but it was like a little g. The driving force of D.D. Russell Collins' life was big C, control. I wanted control of everything. And that, you know, that's a day-to-day thing that I think all of us fight as a sin issue. But in 1988, I survived a mass workplace violence shooting incident at my company. 7 people were killed, 4 were critically injured, and I was trapped in a building for 3 hours. Suffered post-traumatic stress disorder with that for a very long time. We lost our first child. And I was, my boss that had mentored me was indicted in a national security breach, all in the matter of 12 months. So everything in my life that I had defined, my career, when I was going to have a child, right? And anything that had meaning to me, everything got turned upside down in that year. My husband went through that as well. So in 1988, we were going to move down to Monterey to the Naval Postgraduate School, made a decision that we wanted to seek Jesus, and we wanted to know who Jesus was, and gave our lives to Christ. And how the Lord blessed that was we joined a group called Officers Christian Fellowship, and we did our first couples Bible study. 4 of the 8 couples have come through Emmanuel over the almost 20 years we've been here. The defining moment in my testimony early on was Chris at 5 weeks of age. He came down with pyloric stenosis. Do any of you know what that is? It happens in 1 out of 500 male babies. It's the base of the stomach closes off, projectile vomiting. If you don't get the kids to a hospital right away, it's a real serious condition. We took him in at 2 a.m. to this hospital to have emergency surgery, and a representative of every single one of those couples or families came and stayed with Buzz and I all night. and prayed with us. And that had been the first evidence in my life of what this is. What is the community of faith? It's the family that God chooses for you. I'm going to share some other things as we go along the journey, but that was my rock of remembrance as I started the journey. I love Charles Swindoll. I have a little devotional at night that I read by him on my bedstand. This one says, 10% of life is what happens to you, 90% is what you do with it. So we go with God. So living it. There's a couple of things that I wanted to say to you about this. On the date night that I interviewed Buzz, I said, Buzz, if you were with me, what would you say to everybody about this whole concept of believing in God and knowing him well? Buzz said that it would be this verse. Would you guys read it with me? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added to you. Buzz said if he was here, he would tell you, make God's word central to your family. However that fits for you. What we made a decision to do, and Brenda knows because we've shared it together over the years, we made a decision to join something called Bible Study Fellowship, and I'll tell you why. Buzz and I had never studied the Word of God, and BSF is amazing in terms of how they give you structure and basic tools to be able to teach your children. And over a 14-year period, we were able to do it with both of our boys. Chris went through the entire program, as did Michael. All I'm going to say to you is my encouragement is find a way that you can do that as a family. The second thing Buzz asked me to share with you is we did do this whole thing of family devotional nights, and there's great ways to get ideas to do that. But he said the one that he remembered the most, that he felt like had the greatest impact on the boys, was it was called Dot on a Ribbon. If any of you have heard of this, he made the boys run with ribbon up the front staircase, back down, outside, around the house. And they came and sat in the family room, and there was ribbon, like everywhere. And he said, boys, your life is a dot on this ribbon in light of eternity. So where you're going to spend eternity is what's really, really important. We're going to make the most of this life as a family, but where you spend eternity is what matters most to Mom and I. I thought that was a really, really powerful, powerful example, and I never forgot it. So keep calm and believe. My favorite verse, these words I'm giving you today are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. What does that mean? Well, if we're memorizing scripture on our own, then to be able to pour those into our kids at different points in time. Talk about it when you sit in your house, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Keep calm and believe, making it part of your family. Make it central to your family. So for each one of these sections, I'm going to give you some other ideas of how to make it fit into your life context. Again, you make this work as best you can for you. One of the things Buzz and I talked about last week when I was working on my examples, he said, I think you should share with these women that you never delegate evangelizing your children. And I'm going to tell you why. My boys, we've gone to Emmanuel since 1999. They never really, really connected in large group context. You know, I love hearing those youth kids running up and down the hall. And, you know, we've got lots of wonderful opportunities here at this church, but some kids are naturally wired for a smaller group setting. Not that I'm going to put any of you on the spot, but, you know, that was at first for me a concern that my boys weren't going to connect in a larger group setting. Buzz made a comment to me. He said, well, if anybody's going to mentor our two boys, I think it should be me. So they did participate in things within the church, but Buzz started a thing called Dads and Sons in Christ. My view of that is I read a wonderful book by Gary Smalley and John Trent called The Blessing, and it was become a student of your child. Whatever it is that your kid wants to do, become a student of that. And Buzz, I talked to the boys right before the wedding. I said, do you remember what Dad taught you in Dads and Sons in Christ? It was nicknamed Dasic. The real man, since we're keeping it real in e-moms this year, the real man rejects passivity, accepts responsibility, leads courageously, and expects the greater reward. The boys have never forgotten that. The thing that's interesting, I will tell you, is that Buzz started this out and he invited a bunch of different guys and sons to participate, some who went to Emmanuel, some who attended different churches. And in the beginning, we had a pretty steady crowd. It was once a month. They'd get together and they'd study an attribute of being a godly man, young man, and then they'd go skeet shooting, paintballing, bowling. What you guys need to know is that that participation dropped off over some of the years as the boys got a little bit older. And I will tell you, Buzz felt defeated at points. And I reminded him, I said, who did you say needed to mentor your sons? And he said, I do. So you never let those things get in the way of pursuing those goals for the greater good. So what we're going to do at the end of every section, I'm going to make you take a deep breath with me. So there's a study that says if you do deep breathing 5 minutes a day, when you're 70 years old, you'll have the lung capacity of a 20-year-old. So one more time, deep breath. I figured e-moms needed this more than I did. So aren't you glad you're here? This season is so very brief. Remembering is important in believing. Remember that the ultimate task has already been accomplished in Jesus Christ. Amen? Can I hear an amen to that? There's assurance in that. And you know what my best visual is for that? The priests in the Old Testament never sat down. They were always running around, interceding for the people, sacrificing, right? All those visuals you have of all that in the Old Testament. What did Jesus Christ do? He was the perfect priest, the perfect sacrifice, once in all of time for all who believe. And when he accomplished that task and resurrected and went to heaven, what did he do? He sat down. Say, he sat down. He sat down at the right hand of the Father, and that's where he is for each of us today. So when you believe in him, we can sit down too. And I'm going to talk a little bit later on about the pace of life and how you embrace that. Trusting him for all of our days. Don't be afraid. Just simply believe. So fear not tomorrow. God is already there. I'm going to try to do this. I brought this as a visual. Any of you familiar with Kirkland's? Anybody ever gone to Kirkland's? I have a girlfriend that just adores Kirkland's. And one day, about 10 years ago, we both walked in and we both saw this and we both had to buy it. What does it say? So fear not tomorrow. God is already there. Guess where Dee Dee hangs this? It is right next to my garage door. Okay? It's in the garage, not in my family room. And I put it right by the door. I see it when I get in my car and I'm leaving. I see it when I come into my house. I need reminders. Do you need reminders? Well, this is a good reminder, I think. I think it's a really, really good reminder. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you, Psalm 56:3. I loved when Chris and Ingrid were with you. They said, as we look at the world, how do we reflect what we see and feel to our children? There's a book that I read years ago, and it was The Mirror Our Children See. And we're going to have good days. We're going to have not so good days. I think the most important thing is being real with our kids, being transparent with our kids. But do our lives reflect that we have trust in God? That's a really, really important thing to communicate to our kids. How do we embrace his promises to us? Buzz reminded me last week, he said, you know, whenever you were teaching your management classes, a lot of what I did was senior level management classes, and I put a lot of emphasis on be successful in the intelligence community, but it mattered just as much what you did at home because it's a balance of both. I always would say to my students, when your children think of somebody who's trustworthy, fair, and has integrity, they should think of you. What are we doing to model that? And again, I want you to be honest with yourselves about, I think it's okay to tell them I'm having a bad day. I'm going to go put myself in a mommy timeout. You probably don't do that by elementary school. But in the end, you want your kids to see you reflecting that trust. So most fear is fear of the unknown. Deshua Joyce and I love this. I try to hike with her almost every week. Deshua Joyce is an amazing woman of God and has poured into my life a lot. She said to me that what she taught her children was to focus on today. Maybe you could think a little bit about tomorrow, but the rest of it you leave up to God. Worry is the belief that God won't get it right, Ann Voskamp. I'm reading her new book called The Broken Way, and she talks about this, that we very often hold on to worry, and it becomes a habit that we have. And she said that we're saying that God won't get it right. Well, honestly, you look around you, all that he's created, all he's provided for, what he did through his son, Jesus Christ, do you think we can trust him? What do you think? Say, I trust God. You can tell I'm a Sunday school teacher. All right. Keep calm and trust God. We may never understand the reasons for the particular trials that we have this side of eternity, but for those who love God, there's two verses that come to mind. That the trials are going to work for, they're not to work against us, they really are for our good. And there have been some that I've gone through in my life. Let me say to you, people say, well, Dee Dee, you never seem to be bitter about the fact that you went through that shooting. And I say, look at what it did. It changed my life. In many ways, I was a fast track, workaholic, extremely driven type A personality. I'm still type A, but God's in control. And that's a good thing, right? Right. And the other thing is, he gives us strength to endure any trial. This is Chris, my older son's verse, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That's when the refinement comes in our lives. And I was driving in Alexandria about a week ago, and this was on a marquee outside of a beautiful old church. Read it with me. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Corey Ten Boom. And I thought, it was up about a week ago. And what's going on? Bethany wrote a wonderful article for the women's newsletter about us fighting for joy. Particularly where we live right here, I would say to you it's a big deal across the country what's happening in our nation right now. A lot of transition, a lot of things being communicated. The thing I keep wanting to focus on when I talk to any of my friends, it isn't about politics, it's who do you trust? Well, we as believers in Jesus Christ need to be pointing people to the trust and hope that we have and why we have it. Agreed? We're engaged in the world, but we're not of the world. So living it. I was trying to think what would be the best thing to give you guys as an example that you could relate to with elementary school. Well, Chris was in sixth grade, Michael was in third grade. On September 11th, 2001. I was driving out to my company. We were in Chantilly, Virginia, and I was on the Fairfax County Parkway, and I saw all these planes flying over Dulles in a holding pattern. Do you remember that? Holding pattern. And I was like, what's going on? And I got to the office. We normally don't have televisions where we work, and there were like three TVs set up, and everybody said they've gone into the Twin Towers in New York, and it was before the plane hit the Pentagon. And was there for a little bit of time. We had to do some stuff, and I made a decision. A couple of my girlfriends called, and they said they're going to let the kids out of school early, but I made a decision not to rush to the school to pick up my children. I decided to wait for them at the bus stop. And you know what? They came home, and I made a decision to not have the television on for almost a week. And why did I do that? Why did I do that, you guys? It was everywhere. Can you think of recent things we've had going on in our country and our world? And I'm not going to tell you what you do for your family. You know, it is good to stay informed, but there's other ways to get informed so your kids aren't having that visual all the time. The kids were most concerned, honestly. Buzz was grounded in Los Angeles for almost a week. Buzz was about to take off. They aborted the flight, and they put Buzz in charge of housing of all Southwest Airlines pilots at LAX. He said that was harder than flying any airplane. But anyway, that was my example to you because that was a defining moment, but I felt like it was important for me to be able to manage the information that came into our home. I didn't have the paper available, and we prayed a lot. We hung out with friends. I tried to do some things because we were home from school quite a bit, too. There were several days that we were home. My next example for you is Michael, and I asked him permission to share this story. Michael was born with a congenital defect in his left foot, where if he was standing here with you guys, you know how you've got that ankle bone? When Michael stands, the ankle bone completely collapses, and I mean, his foot is turned like this. So he had a surgery. It was in 2004. It was right after we had done our very first urban immersion trip, and they were able to move it up. But then he did one when he was a junior in high school, and that was a huge decision to try to get it where he'd be able to walk on it. The reason I bring that up, all of you have gone through life circumstances and difficulties. I know that. The thing that has stuck with me, and I've told my son repeatedly, as I sat in that hospital up in Baltimore doing the morphine drip, it was excruciating pain, that second surgery. Never once did my son say, why me? And to this day, he's never said, why me? He'll never run a marathon. He's been told that by the doctors. And he has a little bit of a limp. But you know what? He never says, why me? And what I love about that is he's taken something that is a difficult life circumstances, but he still goes and presses on. And I love that about my boy. The other thing I'm going to leave pretty much to table time, Tyler and I got to have a brief visit today, midday, and we talked and prayed about tonight. Buzz and I talked about this a lot last week, to protect your kids from the world, and I put in, you know, parentheses, as much as possible. You guys have to do this in a way that feels comfortable for you. I'm thankful Andrew is coming. I will tell you that Buzz made a decision, and this is, you know, Chris is 26 and Michael is 23. Buzz really did a lot to filter any internet. The boys were not allowed to have Facebook. He really, really managed that. And once they did have permission to do Facebook, they had to be friends with him so Buzz could be checking. I'm sure you guys are far more savvy than I am. You know, when I got my first iPhone, both of my sons said to me, Mom, it's a complete waste of technology on you. So, well, let's just put it in perspective. You know, the fact that I can do PowerPoint and make it color coordinate my outfits, that's a happy day for Dee Dee. So, and then to find such cute magnets in my color scheme, you know, God is so good. Anyway, the most important thing Buzz and I wanted to share with you relative to this, because we talked about it a lot, and he says, I think it's much harder today. He said, but the foundational teaching is there. You want to be giving your kids a foundation in Jesus Christ so they can navigate when that world is going to be coming to them. We've had friends say to us when sometimes it impacted Chris writing his papers and stuff because he couldn't get to certain internet sites, and Buzz would have to go in and do system privileges so he could get to things. And people would say to us, you know, when he gets to college, Buzz, Dee Dee, they're going to have access to everything. Buzz says, while they're in my home, we're going to protect them as much as we possibly can. So we're going to have some table time. I'm glad Andrew's coming, because I do believe if you guys have any challenge, that's going to be the one that's always one that you're dealing with. So let's read this one together. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. So what does fear do? It enslaves you. What does Christ do? He frees us. And from belief, we then go to trust, and we trust as we pray. So I say here, be a mom and a dad who prays. You cast all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. From 1 Peter, it's a New Living Translation. I like those sometimes. You'll notice here that Peter does not categorize worries as little or big. God wants us to give what to him? All of it. And sometimes I think casting, all of you pick up your right arm right now and do this. Everybody throw with me. Throw. Casting means to forcibly throw. That's what casting means. And that, to me, I think for all of us is the most difficult part of this life journey, because turning it over means you're given up responsibility. And very often we'll pray and then we pick it right back up again and make it our own. And that's when the worry and the stress and the anxiety come in. The word that comes up most often is that you are being self-reliant, because you are in what? That big C word, control again. And that is what the world teaches. So keep calm and pray. This verse, Philippians 4:6-7, all I'm going to say to you is that's what Penny Wood spent the bulk of her presentation on with you guys in November, and it was amazing. All I can say is amen, amen. I will pull out a couple of words that really speak to my heart. The whole concept of worrying, instead of worrying, you turn it into a prayer. If you can infuse it with a scripture, that's great. You tell him what you need and be specific about what you need. Not 10,000 foot, just protect me for today. Talk to God about everything happening in the day for you, for your children, those in your family. And when we do that, we should also be thanking him. I'm going to do a whole thing about rejoice and gratitude, because for me, that's been central to who he is in my life. You do experience his peace when you're thanking him, because you then can reflect upon his provision in your life, and he gives you his peace in your heart and your mind because you're able to live for him. Say amen. Amen. Good job, girls. Living it. You can tell I'm married to a pilot, right? Launch and return is Buzz's favorite line. Starting and ending each day with devotions and or prayer with your kids. Again, I say this with every group I ever spend time with. You do what works best for your family. We're not here to compare. We're not to keep score, gold stars, report cards, okay? You do what works best for you. I always felt that it was important to say a short prayer with the kids if I could, and if I could be there at the end of the day. Buzz and I always tried to work our schedules. We reflected last week how through those years, we didn't see each other a whole lot. You know, he would be flying in from a trip, and I'd be leaving on a trip. That just the calendar scheduling piece was amazing. But the goal was to have one of us around at the end of the day for the kids. The other thing that Buzz asked me to encourage you, if you are married, that it is so important that you encourage your spouse. And I'm going to say for all of us in this room, the women that are at your table tonight, the women that you hang with, the gals you spend time with at the school or in church, all of us need to be prayed for. And we all need to be encouraged. Buzz said there were several times in our parenting journey, our life journey, he said, Dee Dee, you would say just one thing to me that would give me a whole new attitude, a whole new heart outlook. We make assumptions that we know what's going on in the hearts of the people we love most. We don't always know that. Would you guys agree with me on that? And I guess I wanted to be careful about not taking up too much time on this topic, but for me, I said day by day, God's showing me the way. Another big piece of my testimony for me personally is 18 months ago, I was on a bike ride at Burke Lake with Buzz, and I did have a helmet on, and I went across a bridge that had some moss, and I flipped off the bike and hit my head. And I sustained a concussion. I have no memory of about a 3-day period of time. Buzz got me to the emergency room, and he said the entire drive to Fort Belvoir, I kept saying, what just happened? Where are we going? And I'm sorry. And he said I sounded like I was 4 years old. He said I repeated it about 50 times. I have no memory of the emergency room. The thing was, for those first few days, how do you heal a concussion? What do you have to do? You have to rest. The doctor said he wanted me in the dark, no stimulation at all. So I was in the dark, and they put me on some good stuff to help me sleep. But when I was awake, what were the things that Dee Dee had? I had the memorized scripture that the Lord had placed in my heart. And in all honesty, you guys, I've been walking with the Lord 25 years. I didn't get serious about really memorizing scripture until about 5-6 years ago. It's people like Bethany and Deshua and others that inspired me. So I had memorized scripture, and I had the power of prayer just to be able to lay there and talk to him. And you know what it taught me? It was really an amazing thing because I went into a thing called the Traumatic Brain Injury Clinic at Fort Belvoir, and I became part of a study that was used traditionally. It was for people coming back from the war theater. The reason they wanted me in the study is because I suffered post-traumatic stress disorder after the shooting in 1988, and now I've had a traumatic brain injury. Those two things happen a lot in war theater. I'm not saying, you know, I'm a veteran, but I had suffered something. It was interesting because my neurologist and his team were amazed at my recovery, and they said, in part, they felt that my faith was one of the things that brought me back. That and a lot of avocados, walnuts, and fish. Those are brain food, just so you know. And the thing was, the word that they've used, and I just got interviewed 2 weeks ago. I'm almost done with their study. The word that the neurologist used with me last time I met with him, he said, you have resilience. Resilience. So you know what it is to me? It's not about self-reliance. That's what the world teaches. I have resilience, but where does my resilience come from? It comes from Jesus Christ alone, where my hope is found. The last thing is, so praying scripture, personalized scripture, I wanted to share this with you. If any of you want to come see it, one of the girls that I've professionally mentored for over a decade, out of the blue, you know, we just talk, we get lunch once in a while. She sent me for Christmas an entire deck of scriptures, and each one of them has my name in it. And it's in lowercase. What a gift from God. I will be the voice behind you, Dee Dee, guiding you in the way you should go, Isaiah 30:21. And I'm going to talk about that one a little bit later on. But I love that you can make scripture personalized. And she sent that to me just out of the blue. I thought it was great. All right, everybody, take a deep breath with me. Did I tell you guys I do a Christian yoga class every Thursday, and we do a lot of deep breathing while we pray through scripture. Sorry. So one more time, deep breath. Okay. So cast your burdens at the feet of Jesus, praying in faith. What does he give you? He gives you resilience. believing and trusting in him, where our only hope is found. And our last section, my favorite, I always say this hashtag, too much wonderful. You'll see the verse that comes from in a couple of minutes. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. When we have the peace of God, we may not be comfortable, but we may be content in him. And there's only one priority. The one thing I want to say to you guys that it was a hard lesson learned for me. The one priority of your life is Jesus. Knowing him, making him known. And what did Buzz say? Buzz say you shouldn't delegate the evangelizing of your children to anybody else. Everything else in life is pursuing that one priority. And my caution to you is don't get so busy with activity. School activity, ministry activity, activity. Don't get so busy with that you forget why you're doing it. There were times in my walk as a parent that I think I got us a little too busy. And Buzz was always the one that said, Dee Dee, we need more margin. I love that God gave me the soulmate that I needed because he's the one that always reminds me we need margin. And if he was here, there's a great book by Dr. Richard Swenson. I've talked about it before with you guys. It's a book called Margin, and he talks about printed books. 60% is the printed page, 40% is the margin. Dr. Swenson says your life should replicate that. 60% is your life. You need margin. You know what Buzz says? Dee Dee, you read books about margin. I live margin. So that's what he would say. So I'm not going to make you sing. We'll do that later. One of my favorite all-time hymns in my life is, You are worthy to be praised, Lord God, in every thought and deed. O great God of highest heaven, this is the part. Glorify your name through me. It isn't about us. It's about giving glory to him. Amen? Good job. So how do we do that? Gratitude is the heart's way of remembering. Gratitude is the heart's memory. I've heard a quote once. I've been doing this for a pretty long time. I tried to go all the way back, and I started doing gratitude journals in about 1995. They were very simple. Bethany will tolerate me. She knows I do this every time we talk. I tend to try to journal a little bit every single day, just something. God, what did God reveal to me? And you need to know a lot of the talk tonight came from my gratitude journal of 2016. So I write a little something every day, and then usually on Sundays, I got to get my Sunday afternoon nap. I used to do it with my dog buddy. Now I have to do it alone with a stuffed buddy. And I will get up, and I will, sometimes if I have time, I will retype it. If any of you want, and I'm free to share that, I retype it. This is my God journal for 2016, and it is over 70 pages long. So gratitude is the heart's way of remembering. It has been, and my boys have said they want me to eventually, like, get all these, you know, bound up so they can have them. I don't know if I need to do that, but I've kept it for 20 years. It's been instrumental to me. Rejoice in serving him as a family in our church. I wanted to give you two examples that our family did. We taught Sunday school. We taught second and third grade Sunday school for almost 10 years. If I look back on my life and I say what was one of the best things we did as a family, it was that. Every other Sunday, I was in charge of craft, snack, take-home sheet. Chris did the memory verse. Michael always came up with a game that went along with the Bible lesson, and Buzz taught the lesson. We did it as a family, and it was one of the best things we had ever done. We used to be part of a food bag ministry. What I wanted to give you guys, present tense, do season of service together. And it, you know, pick projects we have at the church, but you can also pick something that's near and dear to your heart to do as a family. Rejoice in serving him in the community. Why did I throw that in there? Because we need to be the light of Christ outside these church walls. Can I hear an amen for that? So, Urban Immersion Central Union Mission. People always ask me, Patty Turk just went with me this past fall, Brenda, Bethany have gone, Tyler has gone. People say, Dee Dee, why did you do that? Guys, I came to Christ at 30. I never went on a mission trip. I got to go on my first mission trip when I was 40 years old, and it changed my heart. That whole concept of the hand of compassion, the hand of the gospel, God uses both. The part I love about Central Union Mission is the gospel is presented faithfully there every single night in Washington, D.C. And I get to see lives changed by being a part of that, and I get to learn these men, their names, their stories, and it's been good for our kids too. Urban Immersion and Central Union Mission, they like the kids to be at least 12 years of age, just so you know. Bringing Jesus into the classroom in a public school. One of the life-defining memories I will always have. Have any of you ever heard of the book Legend of the Candy Cane? Anybody ever heard? So I'd have my little candy cane sweater because, you know, we're recognizing every other holiday under the sun. But the minute you want to bring in Jesus, so you say, can I bring in the legend of the candy cane? And you give every kid a candy cane and you've got a little take home tag that explains the gospel of Jesus Christ. The final one was, and I thought it'd be interesting to just share this with you, is to get your kids active out there in causes that matter. We wanted to build a brand new school in South County. The South County Secondary School was built in 2005. It was built 7 years before it was anticipated it would even be on the capital plan. You know how that happened? It was a grassroots movement of about 20 families in the South County. And it was my kids and I at the school board with the boys holding signs saying, please build our school. And we prayed for it faithfully. And Michael and Chris both got to graduate. And that's where Cullen's going to go. So let's read this one together as I close out. I look behind me and you are there. Read it with me. Then up ahead and you are there too. Your reassuring presence coming and going. This is too much, too wonderful. I can't take it all in. I did say that I edited it. That's where I got my little hashtag, too much wonderful. You can't change the world, but you can step out in faith. You can shine for Jesus by believing, trusting, praying, and rejoicing. So, a new year, new beginnings, now what? I'm going to make you sing as I close out. And we're going to say, "Spirit, sing Spirit of the Living God twice. Fall afresh on me, melt me, mold me, fill me, use me," and then we'll do Spirit of the Living God. Will you guys help me? Because this is not my gift, okay? Oh, we're recording this, too. Ooh. Okay, ready? Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me, Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. Amen. Well, let me tell you why I put that at the very end. I want you to welcome this year afresh. Do you know what that word means? A new, different way to embrace. There's some uncertainty. There's always going to be uncertainty. What are you certain of? Jesus Christ, God on the throne, sun shines, God reigns. So melt me. And this is for me personally. I accept Jesus as my Savior. I know salvation is nothing I've earned. I want to be continually refined. When I said to you, my testimony is day by day, God leading the way. Our testimony goes through our entire life into eternity. Mold me. With a willing spirit, I'm renewed and transformed by his word. What did Buzz say? Make the word central to your homes and your lives. Fill me. God shapes me through the Holy Spirit and prayer. Embrace it. Embrace quiet listening to him. I don't know how you do it as elementary school moms, but I want you to find white space on that calendar and have some quiet before him. I didn't do it enough. I do it a lot more now, and I'm a much nicer, happier person. Use me. Love as God loves me. Give my life away. Let others see Jesus in me. The last thing I wanted to share with you, Bethany's got hers on too. We both have our Israel rings. I had the blessing of going with Bethany and Dave and some others to Israel. It was on my bucket list of life. Really, my bucket list is overflowing because it's got Jesus in it. But I put in Hebrew on my Israel ring, this is the way, walk in it, Isaiah 30:21. We did a lot of walking, but honestly, this is a journey of faith. You guys have a long journey, but remember that dot on the ribbon. So make the most of these days, but prepare yourselves and your kids for eternity. I'd like to pray as we close. Lord God, I want to thank you for this opportunity to be with this wonderful group of women. You've entrusted them as moms, and we thank you that they love you, that they made time to come here tonight to be an encouragement to each other, to be in community, Lord. We learn best from you and your word, but we also learn from each other. So thank you for this opportunity. It has been a joy and a privilege to be here. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, girls.